What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, October 8th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, the week continues as we inch closer to the return of Eagles football. There will be no press conferences today. Normally, obviously, on a Tuesday, we hear from the coordinators. But with no game this past weekend, we will not be hearing from the trio of Eagles coordinators. Next time we hear from the Eagles will be Wednesday when Nick Sirianni, the locker room, Jalen Hurts, all that opens back up and we get back to the normal media week. So we're almost there. Obviously, the Phillies keeping us busy and keeping us emotionally invested until then. But yeah, the Eagles almost back. Now, the one difference we have today is these past 5, 6, 7 daily morning pods, I've had nothing for you on the injury report. But as I've said repeatedly, when the week comes, I think you're going to see the big three of A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Lane Johnson play on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. But now we have what I guess I would call our first official like indication that that is going to happen. So on Monday, there was reports via James Palmer of Underdog Fantasy, and then also our good buddy John Clark of, obviously, NBC Sports Philadelphia, that A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Lane Johnson are all expected to play on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. Now, this is obviously not surprising. I don't think anybody expected any of those three players to miss the game on Sunday. A.J. and Lane were somewhat close to playing against Tampa Bay, and Devontae now with what will be 3 full weeks, essentially, between the New Orleans game and when they take the field against Cleveland to recover from that concussion. The expectation was always that the three are going to play. But while it was the expectation, and it is a reason to feel optimistic, we shouldn't just brush past this moment as if, you know, well, it was going to happen, so yes. Like, getting A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Lane Johnson back really is a massive deal. If you want to talk about the best players on this team, like, forget positional value, just best players, they might be the three best players on the team. Obviously, Jordan Mailata has been outstanding this year. Saquon Barkley is an outstanding talent. Jalen Carter has the pure talent to be in that discussion. But just flat out best players, A.J. Brown, Devontae, and Lane might be the best three. So we've done a lot of big picture talk about this team, obviously doing the bye week report cards, you know, talking about what they can be the rest of the season, the importance of the upcoming schedule. On Monday, we talked about who the team is to worry about in the NFC East, and all those are important conversations. But one thing that cannot be understated is that when you look at this Eagles team and the 4-game sample size we have, there is certainly an argument to say that we've seen 2 different versions. We've seen the version with everyone, and we've seen the banged up version. The version with everyone, week 1 against Green Bay, that was the best version of the team we saw. Obviously, Jalen still had some turnover problems in that game, but just from an offensive standpoint, they looked like a completely different offense in week 1 than they did weeks 2, 3, and 4. I mean, you want to talk about the outstanding performance they had week 1 offensively, again, besides the turnover-worthy plays, but the outstanding performance they had week 1 and compare to what that was in week 4, it was in some ways truly like watching the 2022 offense compared to the 2021 offense, just in terms of the spectrum of how it looked. So doesn't make it excusable to look that bad on offense when you're missing A.J., Devontae, and Lane. But now that all three are coming back, we are going to get, assuming all three, knock on wood, stay healthy and can play over a prolonged stretch of games, these next few games are going to give us our best indication of who the Eagles truly are. Because A, they're going to be, and again, knock on wood, fully healthy heading into this next stretch of games. They're going to play teams that they should beat. And we're going to talk about the Cleveland Browns in this pod quite a bit, get the preview going for this team. But getting all three back, now is going to be the time where if you're Jeffrey Lurie, you're going to sit in that box and say, all right, Nick, you have all the players. All right, Howie, all your players are out there. Okay, Jalen, you have arguably the best set of offensive skill players and offensive line combination in the NFL. So the excuses are done. Like against Tampa Bay, against Atlanta, against New Orleans, you could use the no AJ excuse. You could use the no Lane excuse. You can't use it anymore. So it's really good news for this team to A, hear that they're all coming back. You're just happy to see that they're all getting healthy for them. But it's going to finally give us a look at what this team can be this year. And hopefully over a prolonged stretch, that is a team that we can all watch and say, you know what? Maybe they'll create some special playoff moments just like the Phillies are. So some good injury news for this team as the work week ramps up and we get back into our more traditional non-bye week schedule with the daily pods, but also just with the type of content and, you know, getting a good look at this team. The other piece of Eagles injury news that we got on Monday was that the team has opened the practice window for safety Sidney Brown and wide receiver Anaya Smith. Anaya Smith, of course, started the season on the IR with that ankle injury. And Sidney Brown has been injured since last year when he suffered a torn ACL at the end of the season. So what does this mean for the roster? I think the quicker path back to playing and being on the 53-man roster is for Sidney Brown. They need help at backup safety. Obviously, Sidney Brown being a former high draft pick, having played well last year, Vic Fangio's already talked about getting him back. So I think this is an encouraging sign, obviously, that he is going to start practicing. Of note, they have not opened the practice window, at least yet, for James Bradbury. I know his injury is considered a little longer, but when it comes to backup safety, Sidney Brown is getting the nod, at least initially, in terms of returning to practice and getting those practice reps. I've seen him out at practice running around. He looks to be in great shape. Vic Fangio seems really excited about him. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly he's back out there. The Eagles have been pretty quick. Like normally when a guy gets a practice window opened, they return relatively quickly. I think a difference with Sidney could be, A, he got literally no reps with the team at all throughout the entire offseason, and being a second-year player, it's not like he has years of experience to lean on. But he's a guy that I think, look, he will come in. He is a downhill player. I think he has been an inconsistent tackler, but I also think he can bring a physical presence to the defense and be just a good, you know, developmental player for them to have a backup safety. I don't think he can be an instant impact guy, but he's certainly someone they'll be exciting to watch develop over these next few weeks if he does start to get back into it. Anaya Smith is a little bit surprising. I thought he would probably spend the year on IR. You do wonder if Britton Covey doesn't suffer that injury, if he would return to practice. I think potentially they could use him as a punt returner if they don't want to keep Cooper DeJean back there. If Cooper is becoming the starting nickel, then I think that, you know, you don't want him being the full-time punt returner as well. So potentially Smith can get on the roster as a punt returner since Covey is going to be out, you know, another 6-7 weeks. So yeah, interesting Eagles injury news to get them both back. My guess is the first one, like I said, to come back onto the 53 will be Brown. So it'll be interesting to see if he's added to the 53-man roster this week prior to their game against the Browns. But Smith as well, probably dealing with a less serious injury. And if they need him as a punt returner, he could certainly be back too. So some good injury news for the Eagles all over. They're getting back two sets of Smith and Devontae and Anais, and then obviously Sidney Brown, AJ Brown, and Lane Johnson. So some good Eagles injury news for once. Now, let's talk about this week's upcoming opponent. And me and James are going to be recording a pod this morning. So we're going to get into a lot of different things with James, but I wanted to dive in to initially at least the Cleveland Browns and maybe what the Eagles should expect going up against them. So I'm going to do it in twofold. First, let's just look at the Browns, strengths, weaknesses, and all that. And then I want to look at Deshaun Watson compared to Jalen Hurts. So first, what I would say about the Cleveland Browns, I think the overarching feeling, like, you know, the water cooler take on the Cleveland Browns is they're not good. They are not a good team. They are 1-4. If you look at who they've lost to, like they've lost to bad teams. The Bet Parks app, which obviously you should all be using, has the Eagles as a 9-point favorite versus the Browns. Just think about that, you know, right? The Eagles are coming off getting absolutely annihilated. And I know, again, they're getting back their guys, but the Eagles are 2-2. It's not like the Eagles have played outstanding football. So to be a 9-point favorite really speaks to how, A, the market views the Cleveland Browns, but also just the type of football they played. So that being said, while it's easy just to say they're a bad team, and again, I'm confident that if you're listening to this on Tuesday morning and someone at work says to you, hey, what about the Cleveland Browns? you can go, yeah, that's a really bad team. The Eagles should win. But there are some things that they do well, and then there's some things they do especially bad. So let's look at the strengths of the Cleveland Browns, and then we'll get into the weaknesses. First strength, and this is an obvious one, Myles Garrett is still really, really good. In five games, he has four sacks. He has two forced fumbles. That's especially worrisome when you think about the issues Jalen has had in the pocket taking care of the ball. So the two forced fumbles is definitely noteworthy. And then he has 15 hurries. So, I mean, he's averaging, you know, almost five hurries a game, roughly. My quick math isn't great, but he is still a very, very good player. And you can see that while the Cleveland Browns, their pressure numbers are not that great overall, their pressure overall, I believe Pro Football Focus has him like sixth or seventh in the league in pass rush. Most of that is because of Myles Garrett. They have some other decent players, but Myles Garrett is what drives that pass rush. He is the number one problem. Now, the good thing is, Jeff Stoutland and the Eagles offensive line is really, really good at shutting down one player. We've talked about this repeatedly when previewing a team, and Aaron Donald is always the example. When they would go against Aaron Donald, the Rams did a poor job throughout his career of surrounding him with other great pass rushers. The Eagles always kept Aaron Donald in check. Myles Garrett, a little harder to keep in check, I would say, than Aaron Donald because he is on the outside as opposed to being a defensive tackle. But the Eagles have two outstanding offensive tackles. Lane Johnson will feel fresh, having not played for 3 weeks. So you feel good about the matchup versus Myles Garrett. But Myles Garrett's certainly one of their strengths. The other one is Jim Schwartz, and I'll combine blitzing in this. So the Browns are seventh in the league in blitz attempts this year. They like to bring pressure. Jim Schwartz, as we all know from his time here, while he can certainly be up and down like most coordinators, he is an extremely good defensive coordinator, and he will have a good read on this Eagles offense. He knows a lot of the offensive linemen. He knows Jeff Stoutland. You know, he'll know kind of what their protections are, how they like to handle certain things. Obviously, it's been a little bit since he's been here, so it's not like he's super familiar with the personnel that they have. But I think Jim Schwartz is a definite strength of the team heading into the weekend. You combine the Eagles kind of, you know, not great quarterback play from Jalen Hurts. Now they've been good against the blitz, and that's encouraging, but I'll be curious to see what Jim Schwartz has dialed up for this team and how they're able to handle it. The other strength of the Cleveland Browns, and I was really, really surprised when I saw this. The Cleveland Browns have the number one red zone offense in the NFL. Now that is a number, as in most numbers, when it shocks you, you can find a reason as to why that is the case. And the issue is, for the Browns, they never get there. They, this year, their drives are averaging about 20 yards in total. That is dead last in the NFL. So when the Browns get the ball, they are not getting into the red zone, which is why it is impressive that once they get there, they score, but they're just not getting there very often. So a 75% touchdown rate when they're in the red zone. Here would be my glass half empty concern with that. The Eagles defense does play a bend, don't break style. Like, they are not the one to bring the pressure right away. They are fine giving up yards and making you dink and dunk the ball down the field. The Browns, in theory, like, if they get in the red zone, they're scoring at a high clip. Now, I think over a prolonged stretch, when they're in the red zone more and more, that number will obviously dip. I don't think their offense is good enough to be truly the number one red zone offense in the NFL. But if you're going to be an Eagles defense that gives up yards and lets people get into the red zone and then shut them down there, going up against the number one red zone offense in the NFL is not ideal. So those would be the three strengths. I think you could also kind of throw Kevin Stefanski into there. I think he's done a nice job, but he's not like an intimidating head coach. So now let's get to the weaknesses of the Cleveland Browns. And man, let me tell you, I've done previews for a lot of these games, every Eagles game actually, for the past 12 years. I've looked at a lot of offensive lines, and obviously I don't remember a lot of the ones we discussed early on. But this season especially, I was blown away looking at how bad this Cleveland Browns offensive line is. First of all, Deshaun Watson has been sacked 26 times in five games. Now, some of those are on him. Like, he does invite pressure, so I would put that down as a weakness as well. Deshaun Watson does a poor job in the pocket. But you don't give up 26 sacks only because of the quarterback. I mean, that's over five a game. Five times a game he is being sacked. And so why is that happening? A, they don't have a good offensive line. Like, they just don't have talented players on the offensive line. But outside of that, they've dealt with a ton of injuries. Just researching the offensive line today, I kept finding new names. Like I would be like, okay, these are the five starters. Like this, and then I'd look, oh, he's played 85 snaps. Oh wow, he's played 110 snaps. This year they have had 8 players play over 100 snaps, and I believe it's 9 players over 80 snaps. So not only do they have poor talent on the offensive line, they have a banged up offensive line. And later in the week, we'll get a little more into it when we preview the Browns offensive line versus the Eagles defensive line. And part of the reason I'm waiting is because I just don't know who's going to play. Like, there is going to be injury concerns to look for. They could be playing without their starting right tackle, and they could be playing without their starting center. So that'll be something to monitor throughout the week. But the offensive line, like if the Eagles defensive line can't get pressure on Deshaun Watson this week, man, you have to wonder if that coming out party for the defensive line is ever truly going to happen. So the offensive line, a definite weakness. The other weakness they have, and this, you know, backs up when we were talking about the red zone offense and their lack of sustaining drives, they have the 32nd ranked third down offense in the NFL. And that's how you become 32nd in the league in average yards per drive. They just can't sustain drives. And if you look at the offensive line, that's a big reason why. They can't keep Deshaun Watson up. And Deshaun Watson, even when he is up, invites pressure, and he's not played very well. So the third down offense is a major concern for the Browns and something the Eagles defense should really be able to take advantage of and not allow the Browns to have sustained drives. Now, if they're playing off coverage and the Browns are able just to get rid of the ball quickly, maybe, but Deshaun Watson holds onto the ball longer than almost any quarterback in the NFL. So the third down offense, definitely a weakness of the Cleveland Browns. Other concern for the Browns and something the Eagles, God, you would think could take advantage of, the Browns are not good at winning the turnover battle. They've only won the turnover battle once this season in 5 games. Now, the Eagles are also not good at winning the turnover battle. When we get into the quarterbacks, we'll talk about a potential issue the Eagles have with Jalen Hurts compared to Deshaun Watson. But the turnover battle is not a strength for the Browns. They don't force turnovers much, and they turn it over quite a bit. So I think they're -1 this year in the turnover battle. But again, haven't won it. They've only won it one time in 5 games this year. The final weakness for the Cleveland Browns, and now we're going to get into this on the other side. Let's talk about Deshaun Watson, how he's played this year, the Eagles almost trading for him, and let's compare him and Jalen Hurts. Because I have to be honest, when sitting down and going through this, I was concerned how similar their numbers are. So on the other side, we're going to take a deeper look at Deshaun Watson versus Jalen Hurts and how the two have played this year. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so when I recorded the pod on Monday and I watched the Browns on Sunday, it is very obvious that Deshaun Watson is not playing well at the quarterback position right now. There is just no denying that. Like, you know, we can talk ourselves into, well, he has a special arm and he can't play bad forever and he used to have a ton of talent. Like, no. He's just not playing well this year, and the numbers do back that up. If you look at him this year, he is 28th in passer rating, and he is 32nd in QBR. So passer rating, not always the best indication, but QBR, if you want to believe it, does encompass everything, and he is dead last in the NFL. And not only is he dead last in the NFL, he is dead last by a wide margin. Like, most people separate themselves, I'd say, by 2 or 3 points or less than a point when you go from like first to second to third to fourth. The difference between, I think it was Will Levis, is 31st, and Deshaun Watson is 6 points on the QBR scale. So he has been really bad this year. But what was surprising to me is when you look at the numbers, they are not that different than Jalen Hurts' numbers. Now, let me say this before I get into a deeper dive. Jalen Hurts is better than Deshaun Watson. Jalen Hurts has played better than Deshaun Watson this year. But Deshaun Watson has become, in some ways, the biggest joke in the NFL. Every Sunday, everyone rips this dude to shreds. Everyone watches him. He's cooked. He needs benched. He's terrible. His numbers aren't that different than Jalen Hurts. So Jalen Hurts this year, 25th in passer rating. So right there with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is 28th. Jalen Hurts is 25th. Now, that where you can see a clear difference between the two is Jalen Hurts is 14th in QBR and has 3 times the total amount of QBR points as Deshaun Watson was. So there's your indication. Like, Jalen Hurts is playing better. Statistically, it's pretty close. Deshaun Watson this year, 852 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and completing 60% of his passes. Jalen Hurts, 68 completion percentage, so a noticeable jump there. 930 yards passing, relatively the same as Deshaun Watson. 4 passing touchdowns, 1 fewer than Deshaun Watson. 4 interceptions, 1 more than Deshaun Watson. So obviously Jalen adds more as a runner. You know, he just does. But when it comes to passing the ball, I mean, if you remove those names, obviously you would see the difference in completion percentage, and that is noticeable, like 60 to 68. That's a significant difference. But if you told me one in Jalen Hurts is supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and one in Deshaun Watson is like maybe benched and will never play in the NFL again, these stats are not that different. So that is concerning. That is like, it just kind of puts into perspective a little bit how Jalen Hurts is playing. Now, I will say from in terms of a line protection, Jalen Hurts is getting a far better protection from the offensive line. He's been sacked 13 times in 4 games. That's half as much as Deshaun Watson. So Deshaun Watson, his offensive line in front of him absolutely dictates how he plays, as it does with every other single quarterback. The games where Jalen Hurts gets really bad protection, he doesn't play as well. The big difference between Deshaun Watson and Jalen Hurts this season has been turnovers. Watson, according to Pro Football Focus, just as a pure passer, has a better grade than Hurts. Now, that's just one analytics. That's just one, you know, one, in theory, one person's view of it. But when he's like had a clean pocket and when he's just passing the ball, Pro Football Focus has him as a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. What's killing Hurts in this is the turnover plays. And it's going to sound like, you know, continue to talk about a problem we've talked about at length, but you can't talk about Jalen Hurts without talking about the turnovers. Deshaun Watson, for the bad protection that he has gotten, has done a somewhat decent job taking care of the ball. Deshaun Watson, according to Pro Football Focus, has 4 turnover-worthy plays this season. Jalen Hurts has 11. Deshaun Watson, an average turnover-worthy play on 1.7% of his snaps. Jalen Hurts is almost 7%, 6.7%. So almost 2% compared to almost 7%, over 3 times as much. So when it comes to like just throwing the ball, again, 68% to 60%, Hurts is delivering a more accurate ball. And if you dive deeper into the accuracy numbers, Hurts is 7th in accuracy, according to Pro Football Reference, and Watson is 10th. So Hurts is better. Obviously, Watson does deliver, it seems, a nice ball when he has a clean pocket and he can just throw the ball, but Hurts is more accurate. Hurts' bad throw percentage is higher than Deshaun Watson. So like the turnovers and the bad throws where he's putting the ball in harm's way is truly the difference right now between Jalen Hurts and Deshaun Watson. Allowed pressure. We just talked about it. Deshaun Watson has allowed 14 pressures this season. That's the second most in the NFL. Jalen Hurts has allowed 7. So these are times where the pocket is clean because of the offensive line, but the way the quarterback maneuvers the pocket, where he decides to go, that's an allowed pressure by the quarterback. So Deshaun Watson does a worse job in the pocket than Jalen Hurts does. Deshaun Watson holds on to the ball just as long as Jalen. Jalen, 3.17 seconds this year, one of the longest amounts in the NFL, average time to throw. Deshaun Watson, 3.09 seconds. So roughly the same, but you know, Hurts is holding it longer. Quarterbacks when under pressure. The numbers this year when the two are under pressure, Watson has been better under pressure this year than Hurts, which is telling because Watson has gotten so much more pressure than Jalen Hurts. Deshaun Watson this season, there's been 97 times when he dropped back and he was under pressure. On those plays, he's completing 44% of his passes, which is obviously not good. 234 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interception, 1 turnover-worthy play. Jalen Hurts, 70 dropbacks. So he's been under pressure less than Deshaun Watson this season. Completing 50% of his passes. So again, a more accurate passer, but 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 3 turnover-worthy plays. So 3 times as many turnover-worthy plays on fewer dropbacks with pressure. Once again, the turnover problem is what is separating, or at least making this more of a discussion than it really should be. Now, when they're kept clean, that's when you can see the difference in how Hurts is a better quarterback. But again, the numbers are not as stark as you would think. Jalen Hurts has been clean in 86 dropbacks this season. And now keep in mind, they've played one more game. Deshaun Watson has. But Jalen Hurts, 86 dropbacks. He's completing almost 80% of his passes when he has a clean pocket. 2 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, 3 turnover-worthy plays. Deshaun Watson, when he has a clean pocket, almost 70% of his passes. So he is You know, he can throw a nice ball when he has protection. 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and 1 turnover-worthy play. So Hurts has been better with a clean pocket, but again, not a huge difference. So overall, when I look at this, and I know that I was throwing a lot of numbers at you guys, but it's a bye week. I got time to look up numbers, and you know I love doing it. So I would say Hurts has had more accuracy when he's been in a clean pocket. I think Watson has been smarter with the football. Watson takes fewer chances. Jalen throws a better ball, but Deshaun Watson has taken fewer chances with the football this year than Jalen Hurts has. I also think while Hurts has been better when he has a clean pocket, Deshaun Watson has been better when dealing with pressure. So Hurts and Watson in a clean pocket, Hurts is better, but it's not that big of a difference, in my opinion. Hurts and Watson when dealing with pressure, Hurts puts the ball in harm's way more often and, you know, 3 times as much as Deshaun Watson does. So that's maybe the main difference when I look at these two. If you had to say to me, who do I want to be my quarterback? I would take Jalen Hurts 25 out of 25 times. I would take him 150 times out of 100 times. Like, you would never be able to convince me to take Deshaun Watson over Jalen Hurts. And Watson has been worse this year. But considering that Watson has been someone that has been clowned repeatedly by everybody around the league, it was concerning to me that when you dive into the numbers, Hurts has arguably been worse. I don't think he has been, but when it comes to turning over the ball, Jalen is, again, hurting his team in a way that Deshaun Watson's not. Deshaun Watson's hurting his team in other ways. Poor pocket decisions, those type of things. Missed throws, accuracy. But Jalen Hurts is turning the ball over more than Deshaun Watson is. So when I think about this week, if Deshaun Watson has a clean pocket, and I don't think he will because that offensive line is horrendous, but the Eagles' defensive line's not been good either. If Deshaun Watson has a clean pocket, it's going to be hard for the Eagles to create turnovers from him. He just doesn't put the ball in harm's way the way that Jalen does. If Myles Garrett has a good day, Lane's rusty coming back, and the Jim Schwartz blitz package works, I think there's a world where Deshaun Watson outplays Jalen Hurts on Sunday. I don't think it's a definite. It's not what I would bet on. I'm not going to open up the Bet Parks app. But after diving into the numbers, these are two quarterbacks that have played roughly the same this year. And one is not going to likely have to deal with a pass rush on Sunday when it comes to the Eagles' defensive line getting after Watson. And the other one probably is, because Myles Garrett's really good. And just, you know, Jim Schwartz likes to bring the pressure. So that's what I would say, my initial kind of preview of the Browns and look at the quarterback position. Considering they're talking about benching Watson, you would hope that there would be a bigger difference between him and Jalen Hurts heading into the game. So thank you guys so much for listening. I really do truly appreciate it. And like I said, we're back in business soon. We are back to getting to press conferences, all these things. So I'm excited to get football going. And of course, excited for the Phillies today. Everyone, make sure you're listening to High Hopes. Hopefully by the time I'm recording the Daily Pod for Thursday, we're talking about a Phillies team that went to New York and took care of business. So thank you guys, everybody, for listening. And as we always say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.